Auto Lane and BricksAuto.com. Get in the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, we will take you through March Madness, which is happening in progress as we speak. We've got a big problem here at the studio that we will hit you with in just a moment. We're also going to be joined early on here by Dan Hoard, who is the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. As late as he could do it was here in the first segment, so we'll chat with him at about 4:15. Cole Manbeck's coming on at 5:10. He was begging me to be able to divulge a scouting report on Cincinnati because he's a basketball nerd and apparently has watched a bunch of Cincinnati games so far this year. So at 5:10, we will get Cole's take on that. We'll go around college basketball at 5:25, which is going to basically be a recap of all the tournament games as they are in progress. And if anything does come down to the wire, a crazy finish, we will try and bring it to you audio-wise, depending on how technology cooperates here throughout the show. We try and do that when we are on the air doing the show during the NCAA tournament and have the last couple years. So we'll try and make that happen once again if we can. But today has not worked out like I wanted it to. The last few years I've been able to just pop in the conference room, which has a nice big TV, watch the games, flip back and forth while I work at the same time. It's like the best of both worlds. I can pay attention to what's going on in the games, be up to date on that, which is theoretically doing my job, and I can work on whatever else I have to work on. But unfortunately, that's been in use basically the entire day, and we also do not have a TV here inside the studio that works. We used to.
I'm looking at it right now.
We don't now, and so we are pretty much shut out except for the scores that I'm looking at in front of me on ESPN.com.
And you know what? That is just too bad because just over here to my right-hand side, I have a working TV watching the rest of the West Virginia game. I'll let you guys know what happens.
All right. Well, thank you. It's not the greatest TV in the world, though. The better TV is over here. It's just...
I can see the score. I can see what's going on.
Well, what's going on?
It's like an 18-inch TV. But, the Mountaineers up 6 with about 20 seconds to go. Over
Man,
Bucknell.
My God, my score thing isn't even updating then. Because I've still got it. Yeah, there we go. 81-74 with 41 seconds left. Yeah, I missed out on a lot there. That's what's happening right now with West Virginia. It looks like they're going to hold off Bucknell, barring some kind of really, really crazy comeback. It's 81-74 with 41 seconds left, based on what I can see. Florida is starting to pull away from East Tennessee State, 59-47. Middle Tennessee, if you add that as a 12-5 upset, they lead Minnesota 37-31 at the half. And then Northwestern is beating Vandy by 3, 22-19, just a little over the five-minute mark in the first half in that one as well. So, I mean, all in all, today has not been – it's been fairly underwhelming so far as buzzer beaters, crazy games, anything like that,
it's
upsets.
Been chalky.
Yeah, it's not been the most exciting to this point. I mean, you had a nice finish with Notre Dame and Princeton, but needed Princeton to knock down that three for it really to be what we're all expecting and hoping for and wanting in March Madness, so we didn't get that. UNC Wilmington gave Virginia a pretty nice run, but that didn't quite pan out down the stretch. They had a bad turnover. Just never could really hit the shot to get themselves in front, and Virginia was able to hang on there. Butler cruised over Winthrop. Gonzaga didn't really have too much of a problem with former K-State Wildcat Michael Orris and South Dakota State. So, all in all, today, frankly...
But you know what that means? It means that we're saving the good stuff for tonight when both of us will be able to not just be in front of TVs, but much larger TVs than what we have access to here.
Well, hopefully, yeah, tonight or tomorrow. I mean, it seems like typically it's either one day or the other as far as Thursday or Friday. It gets pretty crazy, and it's not all that spread out. So I'm anticipating at some point in time we get bang, 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 a lot of great finishes, a lot of upsets, a flurry of action.
Well, we will mention it more in around college basketball, but there is only one game that hasn't started yet the rest of the day that the spread is less than 5.5. They are not supposed to be close games the rest of the day, but sometimes that leads to the biggest upsets. So we'll see.
So what you're telling me is tonight it should be, yeah, you do. You have a lot of the 15-2, 13 or 14 threes and 13-4s. Mm-hmm.
The only close one is Xavier, Maryland.
There's a 116. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward to that game, especially because K-State played Maryland. The Terps wound up having a pretty nice year at 24-8. That's actually not a bad launching off point to talk about Cincinnati because Maryland winds up as a 6 seed. Cincinnati is a 6 seed. Now, Cincinnati has a much glossier record because they are 29-5, but Cincinnati played in a worse conference. Their resume as far as big-time wins is worse probably than Maryland's. Cincinnati, to me, is an interesting team to try and figure out as far as that is concerned because they just went through so much of the schedule. You forget how mediocre the American Athletic Conference is, especially this year with UConn being down. They just don't have a whole lot of substance as far as what they did throughout the season.
Yeah, and a lot of times that can play to the benefit of a team like K-State because K-State may have the worst record. They may be the underdog, but there is no doubt that they are more battle-tested. I mean, when K-State takes the floor against Cincinnati.
Well, or at least
when they take
the Big 12 schedule. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, K-State will have played, you know, at least five or six games against teams that are definitely better than Cincinnati, and I think that that's something that has to give K-State a little bit of confidence.
Well, let's talk right now with Dan Hoard, who is the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. They come in at 29-5 in Sacramento to take on K-State tomorrow as the Wildcats get that extra day of rest after the play-in game on Tuesday. But, Dan, appreciate you taking some time to join us from Sacramento. This team, 29-5, is right up there as far as most wins in school history for Cincinnati, just off the best mark in school history. Is this, though, the best team that Mick Cronin has had in his time at Cincinnati?
I think it is, but we'll see. He had a team a few years ago that made it to the Sweet 16. They didn't win 29, but by the end of the year, they were playing extremely well, and they upset Florida State in the second round of the NCAA tournament that year. So we'll see, but I do think it's a very good Cincinnati team, and at 29-5, it's obviously had a great year.
You know, as we look at Cincinnati and what they've done over the last few years, one common theme for them is that they have always been sent out to the West Coast, and there were some comments from Mick Cronin that his team was not too pleased with the fact that they once again had to fly out west. How much should be made of that, in your opinion?
Not that much. To tell you the truth, I really don't think it's that big of a factor for the team itself. Cincinnati got here on Tuesday. They traveled Tuesday night. They arrived about 1 in the morning Cincinnati time. So they will sleep in the hotel here in California for 3 nights before they play a game. I don't think time change or anything like that is going to be a big factor. However, having said all that, when you play in California, your fans can't go. They'll have a very small rooting section, very difficult for the players' families to have to spend that money and trek out west. So from that standpoint, that's why they're disappointed. But they're certainly not going to use it as an excuse if they don't play well against Kansas State.
We're talking with Dan Hoard, the play-by-play voice of Cincinnati and the Bearcats. Well, I guess the thing I would take from Mick Cronin's comments is, and I've always liked this about him, he just seems like a guy that coaches with a chip on his shoulder. Is this a team that also plays with a chip on their shoulder?
I think they've got a little bit of that to them, and I agree with you about Mick Cronin. That certainly describes his possibility. For those who are not familiar with Cincinnati's head coach, he's not the tallest person in the world, to put it mildly. He's probably the shortest coach in the NCAA tournament. And I honestly think that that's probably impacted him in every step of his life. You know, he's not a guy that played college basketball at the highest level, and yet he's managed to do an outstanding job as a head coach at the highest level. So maybe Napoleon had a Mick Cronin complex. I'm not sure, but in that case, he does act and coach with a chip on his shoulder. I would agree.
Dan, we were just talking about this a little bit, how strange of a year it's been for the American Athletic Conference, with UConn being the team that you expect to be there at the top of the conference year in and year out, and that not being the case this year. How strange of a year was it, or abnormal was it, with how things shook out in the conference this year?
I think it was a little bit strange. You had two great teams in Cincinnati and SMU, and nobody else made the NCAA tournament. In fairness to Connecticut, they lost two of their best three players in the first four games of the season. Their best recruit suffered a season-ending shoulder injury in Game 3, I believe, and an outstanding transfer from VCU tore his ACL in Game 4. If not for that, I think UConn probably would have been another NCAA tournament. But let's face it, some of the traditional powerhouse-type teams in Cincinnati's league have to get back to that level for this league to get some respect, whether it's UConn or Memphis or Temple. Those teams have been underperforming, and as a result, I think the league is taking some hits.
Dan Hoard is with us, the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. You know, typically we think of Cincinnati teams being really gritty, good on defense, but it does look like when you start peeking at the numbers here that this Cincinnati team is better perhaps offensively than most would think. Is that an accurate assessment of them?
You've got it nailed 100%. That's the difference between Cincinnati this year and the teams that have been going every year to the NCAA tournament but having trouble advancing. if you look at the advanced metrics, and I know when you start talking about that stuff, fans' brains glaze over because it's a bunch of numbers. But Cincinnati is ranked 35th in the country in offense in terms of points per possession this year, and that's the best they've ever been under Coach Cronin. They're usually a top 10 defensive team in those stats, but rarely have they been very good offensively. So they've got the combination this year of better than they've had during his previous 10 years.
What has been the Achilles heel of this team, or something that you expect K-State to try to exploit?
Well, I'll tell you what worries me. Cincinnati's best big man is Kyle Washington. He was second-team all-conference, and he has a tendency to get into foul trouble. In their last two games in the American Conference Tournament, he picked up two fouls in the first 4 minutes in both games, and it really hurt them in the championship game against SMU. So having studied Kansas State a little bit and seeing how DJ Johnson plays, to me, that's going to be a real key to the game. Can the Bearcats defend Johnson without Kyle Washington getting into early foul trouble?
Talking with Dan Hoard, play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. I guess that, excuse me, is part of where I was going to go next. I mean, just in talking with Mick Cronin or hearing what he's had to say over the last couple days, what are the things that concern him most about K-State?
Well, there are a lot of things. I happened to be at practice yesterday as they were running down the Kansas State scouting report, so to speak. So they went through every individual and what those guys do well. They're concerned about the ability to dominate the paint. They're concerned about Barry Brown's ability to sneak into passing lanes and come up with steals. They saw Stokes hit five threes the other night in the victory over Wake Forest. So there are plenty of things to be worried about, and I didn't even get to the guy who had the best game of all, Wundu. So there are a lot of reasons for the Bearcats to be concerned going into this game, but obviously Bruce Weber's coaches have come up with a Cincinnati scouting report, and they've got concerns too.
Does Cincinnati view it as an advantage or disadvantage that K-State played in the first four as opposed to all these teams that have had a longer period of time off?
It can only be an advantage, can it? I mean, I don't really think that anybody could look at that as a disadvantage for Cincinnati. Kansas State had to play. They had to travel. Again, the Bearcats have been here since Tuesday night, so that doesn't mean it's going to be the difference in a Cincinnati win, but I certainly think it has to be at least a small advantage for the Bearcats.
Yeah, see, Dan, this is why I actually really respected what Mick Cronin had to say about the draw that Cincinnati got. Not only are they getting sent to the West Coast, they're perhaps slightly underseeded a little bit as a six, and then you got to take on one of those play-in game winners that we've seen over the history of it has clearly been an advantage.
Well, that's news to me, quite honestly. Just because they played another game, they're somehow sharper. I haven't seen the numbers that back up that the play-in teams have a better winning percentage. So, honestly, I find that hard to believe.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the time in joining us here. Enjoy Sacramento and the game that's coming up. And, again, hopefully we'll talk to you down the road. Enjoy the game.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. You too.
All right, there is Dan Hoard, the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats, with us here on the game. We'll have Cole Manbeck coming up at 5:10, and we'll go around college basketball. Just try and get your recap on what's going on with all these games right now. We'll see. Mitch, you got the TV over there. Did we go final? We went
final.
They did go
final, yeah.
West Virginia won. West Virginia wins 86-80 over Bucknell, the final there. That was the 4-13 matchup. Notre Dame beats Princeton 60-58. It was Butler 76-64 over Winthrop. And Virginia beats UNC Wilmington 76-71. You can update them again in the game sports update.
It's my whole update.
I know, but people want to know the NCAA tournament. We got different audiences every couple minutes here, my friend. I'm just trying to keep everyone going. All right, when we come back, we will talk a little bit about the K-State side of things. I do have just a brief word of caution. I wasn't on the show yesterday, so I have not had a chance to talk about the victory over Wake Forest. So stay tuned for that. This is The Game.